Last week, we spoke about something that sparked me to kiss my brother over there. You see, he's one of the few people that has agreed to sit next to me on a 17-inch wide chair on Russian Airlines to go to Armenia. And I've got pictures of him sleeping to prove it. I send it to him every so often. But I have a picture to prove it. And then all of a sudden, the flower that's sitting next to him now, and they have become one. And the summary of last week's sermon, which was on joy, is what just happened here. I'm glad to be with you, brother. And I couldn't help but want to touch you. So if you weren't here last week, it's extremely important to understand the foundation, the armadain, the roots, the foundation, the process that we come to the teaching of today, which is rest. Let me finish by starting with a benediction. Paul writes to the church in Romans of the 15th chapter and the 13th verse how this worship service will finish today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and with peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Joy means I'm glad to be with you. It's what comes out the exhaust pipe. Think about somebody for a second that you are glad to be around. Go ahead. Who is it that you are just glad to be around? Joy. I had Lena daughter and Anna daughter look at each other. That was good. I'm a little concerned about husbands and wives not quickly looking at each other, embracing. A little concerned. Mommies look at babies. Savajan, is there a baby in that stroller? What's the last name of the baby? No way! Oh, man. Karasun Oryagov. All right, just checking. Because I know Armenian families are careful about their babies for the first, you know, like 36 years of their life. And they don't want others to hold them and hug them, because I'm going to lick your baby's head. I'll tell you right now. Get ready. Explain to your wife later the problems I have. I love being around police officers. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because a police officer is decked out with a gun and has a taser and wears a flak jacket, bulletproof. But whenever I see a police officer, I usually find a reason to go talk to him, less her. I saw a woman police officer who was wearing everything but grenades. She was literally walking around like this, and her jacket had pockets and drawers, and don't mess with her. You're done. I didn't have the fortitude to go and speak with her. But I like the idea of going to a peace officer and say thank you. I've had two tickets in my life within a year of each other. Within my 17th birthday and my 18th birthday. 17th birthday, going around the curve by PHS, speeding, ticket. Yev gertai parikunelu. Go figure. Excuse me, I'm a Yechbar Chanzavak, and I'm going to church, and I'm... Next one, left turn, southbound on Rosemead into Big Five Alley. You can't do that today, because there are orange cones and a curb, I believe, now. You know why? Because boneheads like me turn left there. And probably cause accidents, but in my case, do you know what you did wrong, sir? I think I wasn't supposed to turn left. I'm so sorry. Since then, I've never had a ticket. I drive a Prius. It's not capable of getting a ticket. I tell my son, the engine in his car is 1.8 liters larger than my car. It goes a lot faster. A ticket is not just $400, it's $3,000 over a long period. I don't want a ticket. Shatbarze. I was asked to speak at a men's breakfast in Glendale at my brother Daniel's church. I decided that morning as I was getting prepared to go there that I wanted to take my guns. So I took 6 or 7 shotguns, and as I went into my car and I was loading the guns, I realized it'd be cool to take my revolver. So I have a little bisuck next to my bed, and I took the bisuck that has a revolver in it, a Smith & Wesson 38 Special, and I threw it in my front seat. As I'm driving to Glendale, going up the hill where the dump is, Figueroa area, called, I'm looking at the gun and thinking, my gun is next to me. I don't think I'm allowed to do that. It's supposed to be in the back. So I continue to drive 65.0 miles an hour, thinking if a police officer were to stop me for any reason and he sees the gun there or me hiding it, I'm going to be on the 10 o'clock news. Armenian pastor, 38 special. As I'm thinking of this, as I'm thinking, what were you thinking when you put the revolver in your passenger seat? I look in my rearview mirror and I see a van, the large SUV, CHP, which must have looked down out of his window with his lights on behind me. This was like 3 months ago. Now I'm driving and his lights are on and the gun is here. Inchkinis, what are you going to do? I pictured the 10 o'clock news. I know that police officers always approach a car with a gun. Whenever they approach in Armenia, when we go and are stopped by a police officer, and it's happened to me twice, you have to get out of the car and go to them. Here, you put your hands on the wheels, you open your window, you peel the tint off your windows. You just make sure that they feel safe. So as I'm looking in my mirror, he's coming. And then you know what I thought to myself? If he's got his hand on his gun, I'm going to put my hand on my gun. Yeah, I'm no dummy. I am yes. Oma, fair is fair. NRA. That entire story was true until the part where he came to my car. The lights were on. He was there. He was doing a traffic break. I was the last car on the freeway that got away from the traffic break. He did not even know what was in my car. No, I won't say that. I was very scared. Was not glad to be with a police officer. As a father has loved me, so I have loved you. So abide in my love. Jesus said, last week we talked about that God loved me, so I love you. So be in my love. And then Jesus said something very cool. He said, make my joy complete. Ang pokchatsur im glad to be with you. That is the number one foundational relational skill. And then here's the hard part. You may have chesed. Remember the word? Chesed is that I want to be with you love. Chesed is I not only want to be with you love, but as Jesus said, remain in my love. So we have a newlywed couple that is in love. And we have a couple here, my wife and I, who've been married now almost 31 years. And you need to ask her how often I remain in my love. Love being glad to be with her. Love is I'm glad to be with you. I will your good. I will your good. I'm glad to be with you. Joy. I don't remain in it all the time. Do you remain in the I will your good, glad to be with you? If you don't, Dallas Willard and Dr. Jim Wilder teach you lack relational skills. And a church that is full of people that have, I will your good, but don't know how to play it out, relational skills, is a frustrated church. By the way, this is not a special sermon for Yechbar Chonya Giritzi. I've preached this sermon in at least a dozen churches. And it's funny how when And maybe it's because I get the chance to visit a lot of churches that I see that there's a lot of love, but there's a lack of relational skills so that I don't know how to get across to you that I will your good. And by the way, inch urachim kiz desnelo, amma zanratzeres, ha, are you? Urachim desnelo, pites. Usumes. Hedevapar. If you really want to learn what this means, watch the band. Happened again today. I know all of them except Paul until last week. Last week we talked about Paul jamming. He was in the groove. Today, Mukhchan guitar and Mukhchan drums. Mukhchan guitar was playing electric guitar. I'm looking to the back, and the Mukhchan I know that I grew up with that used to take me bowling is standing back there like a daddy would and smiling. Why should he not smile? Mukhchan on the drums, killing it. There's one point, where are you, Mukhchan drums? There's one point that he went like this. He went, ba-da-boo! And then he looked over to Gilbert and smiled. And Gilbert looked at him and smiled. I thought, joy. He right at the right time, you know, it was the second or third song, he did something, give Kizzy Nights off for affirmation. And then leader looked at him and said, that a boy. Hey, forget the sermon. Just watch them. And then Anna daughter one and Anna daughter two standing next to Lena daughter, right? Because I don't know all your names, but I grew up with your parents. See, I'm looking at Anna daughter one and Anna daughter two thinking, man, your mom used to rip my head off. But you're like the new and improved version of peaceful and gentle. But yet Anna that I've met over the years, over the last several years, is peaceful and gentle now too. But in my head, I'm getting ready for you to get the mic and say, no, you didn't win that point. We won the game. Joy is, I'm glad to be with you. But we don't have the skills. When Jesus said to his disciples, listen, Daddy loves me. So I'm going to show you how to love, will your good. And now I want you to remain in it. And you hear those words, but don't practice it. You're stuck, and it's scary. It's frustrating. How do you practice, I will your good, love? How do you practice, I'm glad to be with you? Go ask the eight men that sit in front of Starbucks every day. They're glad to be with each other. I go and sit with them half an hour and just listen to them. Those boys are glad to be with each other. Unfortunately, some of them, and they've told me, not all of them, so if you're one of them, relax. Some of them would rather be with each other than their own wives. I'm here because I'm glad to be with the men, because I'm not glad to be with my wife. I've got joy here, but not joy at home. So I'm going to come here in front of Starbucks. I have joy when I go to In-N-Out Burger. Both double doubles cause me joy. I figured I can have a second double double because I saw the calorie count on the fries, so I stopped having fries, so I had two double doubles. Joy is the foundation of transformation. Joy is the twinkle in the eye of a mommy and a baby. Joy is when the vache guitar, a Mukhchan guitar, looks at bass guitar, and as they're playing, bass guitar is looking at Mukhchan guitar, and Mukhchan guitar is looking at him, and they're looking at their fingers, and they're looking at each other's eyes. I don't know if you guys know it. Where are you, bass guitar? Paul, and where's Mukhchan guitar? He's not in the room? Let's pray for our salvation. Doesn't he know that in the Constitution of the Brotherhood Church, it says the guitar player needs to stay in church? You guys were looking at each other with a twinkle in your eye, brother. I mean, I hope I'm not affecting your manhood, but you're glad. Yeah, they're looking at each other, and their eyes are saying, do you do it? Yeah, all right, good. And they're looking at each other, looking at the fingers, and they're synchronized. Dr. Wilder calls that a mutual mind state. But this is not a psychology. This is biblical truth. That group would not sound good if they weren't all in synchrony with each other. What would it be like if the church of God was all synchronized in I will your good and I want to be with you? I will your good, love, And I want to be with you. I have joy when I will your good. So I want to be with you. Now, how many of you know Armenian? Raise your hand. Oh, Luchik. Why is this the English service then? I'm curious. And by the way, the cool thing about not being a resident pastor is I can say anything. All you have to do is not invite me ever again. Shad Barze.
Same reason you got a double.
Who are you? Oh, Yechbayt Iskenderian. Well, the color of your beard makes me like you. Which Hovan? Are you kidding? Let's have a word of prayer. For brother, that's your brother? That you're Lucy's brother? All right, I'll figure it out later. Madigarek. If you know Armenian, raise your hand. And this is the English service, so I got to ask the question. Do you not want to will the good and be together with the Armenian service? Because let me tell you a little secret. There is a lot in the Armenian service, this was not on the agenda, that has been through a lot of pain that could show you how to live. And there's a bunch in here that could show them the new and improved version. And I think your mommies would agree. I'm not saying that. I mean, every parent, Mukhjan in the back, is looking at Mukhjan's here thinking, thank you, Father, for the new and improved version. That's what maturity is. Yet we don't have the relational skills. So if we only have chesed, love, your will good, and we don't have relational skills, we stay stuck. If we only have relational skills, if I only how to know how to relationally deal with you and I have no love, I'm a narcissistic manipulator. I can be smooth and say, hey, baby, and manipulate you because I have relational skills, but I don't have I will your good, chesed, love. Dr. Wilder and Dallas Willard identified 19 relational skills that are paramount to healthy maturity in living. Today, number 2, rest. About 25 years ago, almost exactly 25 years ago, I was asked to, my wife and I were invited to Ocean Beach. Is that the place where Camp Pendleton is? Ocean Beach? And our friends put 2 beach chairs on the beach, and I found out that I don't know how to sit on a beach chair for more than 5 minutes. My friend's wife, Tsutsamada Tsutsalov, since you speak Armenian, pointed at me and said, you have no idea what it means to rest. You see, I grew up knowing how to work, baby, because value brought work. I love my daddy and mommy. And boy, did they work. And maybe it was because they grew up in a tin can in poverty and worked their way through to get to a point where they can give me the kind of shoes that they couldn't have, maybe. But I saw a lot of work. Even when we rested, we had an agenda. What do you want to do this summer? Disneyland, Magic Mountain. Good. When we left those places, Nishi Incher. My parents are educators, so we graded everything. A+, always. Great, Dad. Yet my American friends said, you have no idea what it means to rest. And I thought long about that. And I still have that problem. You see, resting is not only a physical thing, but it's also quite emotional. You can use words like recharging. Look at what Jesus did when he appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. Easter wasn't that long ago. I hope Easter is true in your life every day. This is what it says in John chapter 20, verses 19 and 22. On that evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked because of the fear of the Jewish leaders, they were together, they were banding together. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. First thing out of his mouth, խաղաղություն լացեր հետ. Hey, I'm curious. If I were to stop right now and go around the room and I were to ask you, is peace with you? Is everything cool? Is the world turning just at the right speed for you? And is it at the right angle? Peace doesn't mean that you are happy. It means you have, I'm glad to be with you, and things are going to be all right. Because you understand that your purpose is to glorify God, and you're in training for reigning with him forever. That's your purpose, according to the Word of God. He's training you to reign with him forever. I'll say that every time. You got to know your purpose. You're in training for reigning, and you're here to glorify him. Do you have peace about that? Is everything cool? All right, well, Jesus says, I hope you got that. After that, Jesus said, he showed them his hands and his side, proof, and disciples were over, what does your version say? NIV says, over, glad to be with you. I'm so glad you're here. Overjoyed. 21. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. One of my buttons is when people repeat themselves. Ask my wife how immature I am in that regards. I'm asking God for favor and being able to grow through the maturity by bringing people in my life to teach me the maturity of listening to somebody repeat themselves. Essentially, this is the way I take it. If you say the same thing over and over and over to me, it's like, I'm not stupid. I got it the first time. Repeat yourself. Jesus did it right here. Shishtagatane, the creator, according to John 1, Chao Chun says, peace be unto you. Do you have peace? When you go on a cruise, are you going on vacation? How many of you have said, I need to rest from my vacation? Yeah. Are intrusive thoughts robbing your peace? Is your mind consistently turning with what's next and what's next? I know statistically that 3% of what I say is going to be retained. I also know that half of you are thinking about something else. I don't mean to make you guilty, feel guilty or anything, but I almost always know who you are just by the look in your eyes or the not look in your eyes. The Word of God is very clear when it talks about rest. Do you have 2 weeks of vacation a year and one of those weeks you volunteer at VBS? Praise God, you're working at VBS and you're volunteering at VBS. So when do you rest? I'm curious. And may I ask, mommies, isn't your life peaceful? Especially mommies with little children. Why? Nastem tema chamem. I have some bad news for you. The lack of rest and peace is the number one contributor of mental health issues later in your life. Do you have peace? Peace comes from rest. God did it. You're waiting for me to read it, right? And on the seventh day, he... I'm curious if, according to John 1, Jesus, the creator of our planet, the Jesus who created you felt the need to rest. Why are you so caught up on whether the day of rest is Saturday or Sunday? It's interesting that we all would agree that rest is important, but we're more caught up in arguing on whether we're allowed to spend money on Sunday or shave on Sunday. And these are Yechbarchun things that I grew up with. And we're more caught up, we're more caught up in the fact that rest for a pastor can be another day because Sunday is one of the hardest work days of the pastor's life, that we forget the foundational Armadain principle that it's about, are you resting? One of the hardest and most difficult exercises I do with the young men I spend time with is sitting in a chair and doing nothing. That's why I kissed you, man. I sat next to him for 16 hours on an airplane, just being with him. We didn't have any deep philosophical conversations. We went to Armenia together, and we were just together. We worked when we were there. The camp opens this year, brother, in 2 months. what are you doing again on August 7th? Do you have peace? What are these mental health issues? Anxiety. Oh, we have words for it in acronyms, ADD, ADHD, phobias, addictions, sleep problems, and then here's the biggest one. The one that, as a regular guy from Abaran, I'm tracing my roots, I'm pretty sure. I know I'm a Kyugatzi, but it's Pavagam Vestime Vod Abaran Tsiyev. Yev Chabardoren Asumim. Depression. Do you find yourself depressed consistently? It's a joy to me when Armenians especially come up to me and say, I'm depressed. Immediately, I'll tell you, and let me say this, Harkankov, nothing replaces a mother. The bond between a mother and the first 2 years of a child cannot be replaced with anything. Those two are playing guitar, watching each other all day long. Yet what happens in that bond and that responsibility of a mother showing the child what it means to have joy and peace when the child says, my bottom doesn't feel right, and figures out that when the child cries, the child figures out every time I cry, either food is coming in my mouth or my bottom's getting cleaned. It works. Until about 2-3 years old, the child figures out, I can do this on my own, and finds out the hard way that they can't. And depending on what kind of mother you are, the child can scream loud enough for them to get the Snickers bar at the Vons checkout line or learn not to ask anymore. Depression in especially young mothers is rampant because their switch is on all the time. Maybe it's not true for you. Might not be true for you. Especially when I've found that there is not only the mothering, but the homeschooling, and then after the homeschooling, there is the baseball team and the soccer team because we're Armenian. And the music classes, and the church, and all these good, great things that the enemy, according to Ephesians chapter 6, is very, very conniving, by looking at and saying, okay, you're going to heaven, I get it. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. I'm going to try to my best to make things miserable for you. I'm going to keep you off balance. And you don't know how to sit on a beach chair for more than 5 minutes. Father, how do I teach what it means to lie down in a hammock? That's hard. You know what's even harder? Try teaching young pastors how to sit in a chair for 2 hours and tell them without a book. Okay, you want me to bring my Bible? No. Just sit down and take a breath. There is a misnomer, a cliche statement that many of you have heard and maybe used. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. It is absolutely a theological lie. Absence does not make the heart grow fonder. Presence makes the heart grow fonder. Being in the presence of the person whose will, my will, wants good. Being in the presence of a brother that I work with and rest with. Being in the presence of mutual mind state and synchrony, which is why there will be music in heaven forever, celestial, whatever that divine music is. You guys are just showing its house down here on earth as it is in heaven. Because of the, I want to be with your joy, and the, I will your good, is a direct outcome of how clear my mind is, how rested I am, and the adversary wants to mess that up. Presence makes the heart grow fonder. And the ultimate heart grow fonder is when you're sitting and basking in the abounding joy of your Father in heaven. The presence, not the absence. Think about it. Vorchap kez meheru lam atchap kez ibidigarot nam. Oh, uremen kich meheru manam kez me. Vor bisi garot nam. Zazvadzem kezmov. I'm sick and tired of you. So I'm going to go away and I'm going to be absent. I'm going to leave the room because I don't like you right now. I don't want to be with you. I'm going to leave the room. And then when I go far enough, 10, 15 minutes, 2 weeks, bidi garot nam kez, he's saying, I miss you. Oh, would it be different if every one of you missed the other person the minute you walk out that door? I'm talking about my wife. Yet we come together in this sacred place where we worship together and we do our gig. And when we walk out that door, our lives are not transformed. If I remember the rules right, I'm supposed to finish in 5 minutes. Should I get him? Okay. Let me wrap this up. The plane's going to be landing. Put on your seatbelts. You will not learn what it means to will another person's good unless you're taught that. Who's teaching you? Did you know the number one thing that I'm asked by young pastors is, teach me how to love? And it amazes me. And I ask them, teach me knowledge. I'm not saying that young pastors all don't know how to love. I'm not saying that older pastors don't have knowledge. I'm just saying learning to will the good of another is something you need practice in. You also need to know how to rest. Who's teaching you? I had my teachers never rest. My mom in her 70s was running Ararat nursing facility, and I remember after dad went to bed, she would sit at a table and work till past midnight. That's what I saw. That's what I did. I talked to my son yesterday about resting because I see him going 100 miles an hour, and I said, son, I taught you what it meant to work. I'm hoping that we can learn together as I'm preaching to myself how to rest. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it's very clear when the creator of all humankind, who in his divine nature rested on the seventh day after creation, in his incarnate nature as man, says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he talked to his Father. The Word of God says he prayed. Families and communities that learn how to rest together create safety. This thought came to mind as I was going over the sermon over this week. What if that we as a church were to instead of gather and go through the awesome steps of worship and song and giving and tithing and prayer and talking to God, what if instead of that one Sunday we would all walk down the street? Now there's different ways of doing that, walking down the street. We can walk down the street with banners that says you're going to burn in hell and raise our fists in the air. I know that because I've seen that happen at the Rose Parade every year. I'm a professional, certified. I see what burn in hell posters do. In my opinion, they don't work. I'm sorry if you're a banner holder. But what if we were to walk down the street and then in groups of three or four, prayer walk, pray over the neighborhood. And that's a fantastic thing, and I've been part of that, and maybe you've done that. But what if instead of walking down the street and praying or not holding banners, we were to walk down the street in groups of three or four or five or six as a church, you know, like 100 to 200, both English and Armenian services, and just glad to be with each other. Ubes. What would the neighbors say? What's wrong? What's with these people? They really like being with each other. I see them all the time. They just like being with each other. The likelihood of that child coming to VBS, I think, would go up when the neighborhood wants to be in the red seats that are empty right now. The church across the street can seat 1,200. The church 50 feet away on the other side can seat 150. There are tens of thousands of Armenians in Pasadena, and they're not glad to be with me because I'm too busy preaching at them. I'm talking about me, by the way. Not you. I can tell them all the right things to do. I can even articulate what love might mean, but I don't have the relational skills to say, Who's your tattoo artist? Because he's real creative, man. That is the most, that's the nicest looking tattoo. I have never, ever, ever, ever had difficulty getting to know a person quickly by just asking them about their tattoos. Hey, young people, don't go getting tattoos. Baba, your zonoka din zigamorten de umbra. But listen, something as simple as that is a relational skill that opens the door for them to be glad with you. Don't be surprised if they want to hang out with you even on a Sunday morning, even at 9 o'clock. Do you have love? Chesed. Does the love remain even when the person smells? Come, let me help you practice with a homeless person. Do you have relational skills? Do you use them to manipulate people? Or do you use them and watch the joy, glad to be with each other, to be the outcome? Let's stand together as I talk to God in the benediction. And I ask this of you, to consider the many words I threw out at you, which you'll retain 3 to 10 or 11%. Do not go to step number 2 if you don't know step number 1. Step number 1. You have been created for God's pleasure, and he is preparing you to reign with him forever. If you don't get that, stop right there. Think about that. If you make a phone call, say, show me the verses. Number 2. If you understand that only by his grace he has saved you from your original sin, and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, do not go to step number 3 until you realize that he is there to teach you now, as an adopted child of God, how to mature, not only spiritually, but emotionally. Emotional is relational skills. Spiritually is chesed. And you need both. So I pray the benediction that was prayed over the church in Rome. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why? So that the power of God may abound in you in hope. This I ask in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.